Big Red Bench. Game on. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
The Joanne O'Riordan Podcast. A Big Red Bench production for Cork's Red FM.
Hello, this is Joanne O'Riordan and welcome back to the Joanne O'Riordan Podcast with special guest Rena Buckley. Where we left off with Rena, she was talking about the slim All-Ireland victory over Dublin in 2014. And now we move on to the RTE Team of the Year. The Cork Ladies Football Team were voted for the Team of the Year and were the first ever female team to win a national award voted for by the public. So now we take it up with Rena, where she goes on to talk about the rest of her sporting career and what it's like life after sport.
But going back to that RTE award, that's where we started. Yeah. Sorry, I went off the point completely. That was a lovely recognition by every Tom, Dick and Harry, by the people. Like, it wasn't ladies football congratulating ladies football, or it wasn't women congratulating women. You know, it was everybody congratulating us. And that was, I suppose that was the first time that a ladies team, I'd say, had won it. No, the hockey team won it last year with the Irish women's hockey team, which was fantastic as well. If they didn't win it, I'd have been raging.
Like World Cup, like silver medalists.
So it was great for us. It was great for ladies football and it was great for women in general.
And even that day, like, you got to mix with like some top-notch athletes. Like, you know, I remember you saying your hero was Sonia, and you met Sonia and you were like, this is class.
Oh yeah, I was speechless meeting Sonia Sullivan. I think she's the best athlete we've ever had, you know. She's amazing.
I was like, not too young for Sonia, but like, I was just a baby when she was doing her thing. But my brothers are like full on Sonia aficionados, and like, she's lovely and everything, but I'm just I'm like laughing, you know.
And
like,
she's down to earth and she's just from Cove there, you know. She's unbelievable.
I know, yeah. The statue with the running track out in UCC after her, like, it's unreal. But I suppose then, like, 2015 was kind of, you know, it was like the perfect 10 in football, and it was Eamon Ryan's last year. Was that weird? Like, you were going into an All-Ireland, and did you know Eamon was leaving? Did he kind of say to you, 2015, look, lads, I'm thinking this mightn't be it? Or
yeah. You know? No, he wouldn't have said it beforehand or anything like that. Mm. Certainly not. But I suppose the last couple of years that Eamon was there, I suppose I was getting, first of all, I was very young when Eamon came on board first. And while I always would have thought he was really good, I never kind of, you know, when you're young, you don't appreciate things as much. But as I was getting older and I was realising Eamon was kind of coming to the end of his time with Cork Ladies Football, you know, from maybe about 2013 on, by God, I appreciated everything. You know, I took to writing down things that he said and, you know, I really appreciated it. So, you know, I'm delighted that we managed to finish with Eamon on a winning note. It was very special.
And one of the girls was saying you went to like Lanzarote as a team holiday and Eamon did the last sing song and that was like his final hurrah or something.
What it was after that final, I can't remember the hotel we were staying in, but we went downstairs, just the team really, with Eamon, and we had a sing song, and Eamon sang, and that, I suppose, I'm not sure what he was thinking, but definitely we were thinking, you know, it was really special. That was really, it was lovely to be just in the room, the gang of us, and just doing, we love playing football, but we loved a bit of sing song as well.
And I suppose that was like the unit, like you were officially like the unit, like all singing together. People look at you like in Lanzarote going, what a bunch of lunatics, like, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. But they were also looking at us saying, geez, I'd love to be part of that game.
They're great crack. Let's take up ladies football ourselves. And then I suppose it was like kind of weird because 2016, Efi came and you were probably not looking at Efi going, who are you? But you know, like you're so used to like opening the door and Eamon's before you. Yeah. And instead it's someone else, like, you know, it was that. And Efi was kind of bringing in his own kind of younger group as well. So like it was you, you know, a few, like a decade before. So now you're like looking at the young pups going like, Jesus, you know, what's going on here?
Yeah, look, I suppose with the club and both with the Cork Camogie, you'd be used to kind of
the change
in management. Yeah. And you just get on with it and everyone has their new ideas and can see things in a different way. And that can be hugely positive as well. So look, Efi came in, he had new ideas. There was a freshness. James Masters came in terms of the football, and we had Mike for the strength and conditioning then. So it was a different setup, and you know, there was obviously, look, there was a freshness to it as well.
Yeah.
And obviously, look, we would have had a great time with Eamon and it was hugely successful, but look, it was a change. Eamon wanted a change. You know, that's absolutely fine. We were delighted to have him for as long as we had. Efi came in, he had his own ideas, and you know, we had a hugely successful year, and you know, it was thoroughly enjoyable. So 2016 was a great year.
And then 2016, I suppose, saw the development of Cork and Kilkenny Camogie, that rivalry kind of breaking out. I think Kilkenny beat Chi that year.
2016,
they were rating 22 or something like that. They were rating a beat.
Yeah,
for their All-Ireland.
They won in 2016, correct.
Yeah. And I suppose that was like the development of this, like, this thing now that's like a huge rivalry now in Camogie, like Cork and Kilkenny.
Yeah.
Like it's been known through the men's hurling last few years, but now coming out in Camogie and you're seeing it, like, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. But I suppose the other thing I'd say is that over my time playing Camogie, when I came on board first in 2004, and there was a huge rivalry between Cork and Tipperary. And that fizzled out. A lot of those great Tipperary players would have stepped aside, and I suppose the next force to come into play were Wexford, and you know, Cork had a great rivalry with Wexford. And I suppose Wexford kind of fizzled out a little bit, and Cork were still knocking around, and then Cork had a great rivalry with Kilkenny. I think there was the same rivalry with both Tipperary and Wexford, but I suppose there's a little bit more media attention at the moment, so that one gets talked up a little bit more. But geez, there was some crackers against Tipperary and some crackers against Wexford as well.
I was going to say, yeah, it's cool you, like, cool you mentioned Wexford, because we're looking now, like, we're recording in 2019, and Wexford aren't, you know, there's obviously like something amiss obviously within the camp, and you're probably looking back going, geez, there were great memories though that we had,
yeah,
you know, flaking
absolutely
into each other or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, Wexford Camogie, they did a four in a row. It's phenomenal. Mm. Like, they were a powerhouse in Camogie, and they got the better of us a number of times. And they were, you know, they were hugely organised, and they were really talented players as well, and they were prepared very, very well. So it's hugely disappointing to see that level of preparation has gone so far back in Wexford. Obviously, you know that, you know talent can come and go, but you know, not to be organised and prepared to the levels that they were,
yeah,
a regression in that is disappointing.
As far as the difference between yourselves and in Cork, like, Cork had the, like, it was consistently the same throughout the 10 years, and he had, you know, he had the talent, but he had something coming in every single time, like, someone left, someone else came in, like, whereas now at Wexford, and you're seeing with other clubs, it's just like, you know, it's not really, the control isn't there, like, it's more short term thinking rather than long term planning, you know.
Yeah, and that's a pity, because like you said, we all know that you must be organised, you must be well prepared, and it's only then that talent can flourish, you know, and like that talent can flourish kind of on a consistent basis.
Mm.
You know, you can always get a flash in the pen, but if you want to be consistently doing well, you must be prepared consistently well. So I do hope that Wexford, you know, return to those high levels of preparation.
Even just to make it exciting, like, just have another team coming in. Like, there's nothing worse when you're like, wow.
Yeah, Galway will be knocking around this year,
Galway,
for sure.
If Galway, Galway's league consistency is, like, fantastic, and we all have high hopes, and then it's just,
the talent, the Galway have a fierce crop of players, and, you know, they're hugely talented, so there's no reason why they can't make a step up, and, you know, there's fierce talent as well in Tipperary, so I think they could make the step up as well, so hopefully you'll see that, and, you know, if it was as level as the hurling, it would be ferocious, yeah.
Flying all together, yeah. 2017, you decided, were you kind of thinking you were stepping back from both? You were in your Masters, I think, in UCD around that time. And were you kind of like humming and hawing, like, yeah, I mightn't, you know? Or was it just like, you were like, I'm playing Camogie, like, I'm captaining Camogie and that's it?
Yeah, I suppose I had, I worked for myself, and I suppose I got that up and running in 2015. Mm. And then I started a Masters in 2016, a 2-year part-time Masters in UCD. So I suppose 2016, I managed to play both football and Camogie.
Because your schedule wasn't.
The schedule was nuts, yeah. And I suppose the practice was kind of getting a little bit busier. So I knew something would have to kind of go. And then totally outside of work and study and so on, like, I was getting older as well, and, you know, you get through a league campaign fine, or maybe a Munster championship, but the problem is that your crunch matches, the real knockout games, they all come at the same time, and you have to recover really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do, you can eat well, sleep well, foam roll, ice baths, compression pants, but, like, we all know, right, as you get older, your recovery levels, they slow down. So I kind of knew that, it's very difficult to play both football and Camogie. I mean, even the 2016 Camogie final, we had played Monaghan the week before in football on a Saturday, and we went training for the Cork Camogies on Sunday morning, and I'm not sure how fresh I was for that final, and I didn't feel I didn't play that particularly well, and we ended up losing the game. So, you know, you do have to take your lessons as well, you know. So I kind of was feeling that, look, it's I've had a great time playing both football and camogie, but as you're getting a bit older, you may have to make make decisions.
The captaincy was probably like your big, when you were offered captaincy for Cork. Yeah, camogie, so probably like the one where you were like, yeah, I'll take it.
So basically, the what happens in Cork is that the county champions get to select the captain. Yeah. So Enniscarra won the county championship in 2016. So we beat the amazing Milford team that year. Now, it was unexpected. You know, we certainly wouldn't have been favourites going into the game. And it was something that I hadn't thought about before the game. But, geez, it was a huge win for us. Like I say, Milford, they were All-Ireland champions at the time, and they were, you know, they've been a phenomenal team. So, it was, first of all, it was a shock to beat them. And then I suppose, look, the opportunity came. I suppose I would have been thinking along the lines that I can't keep all this up anyway. And look, that was certainly the key thing that made me choose camogie over football.
And then what like struck everyone, I remember like everyone always saying, oh, did you know the last like Osquelia speech was Sean Hogan? Everyone was like, no, it was Rena Buckley 2017. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you got big response. Like, I saw you saying in an interview, you got like a massive response for just doing a speech like in Irish.
Yeah.
You know? Like, is that something like 10 years ago, that would have been a little bit unheard of, but like, you know, you're standing up there. Was that like a conscious decision where you were like, look, just flake on now and see what happens with Oscar?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. So I was captain of the football team in 2012, so I did my speech Oscar Ailga as well. Probably worked out a little bit better for me in 2017. I was a bit older. maybe not as nervous about it. But look, I obviously love football and camogie, but I do love the Irish culture as well. And look, every final in any sport is hugely important, but look, there's no other way of saying it, but the look at All-Ireland final has a special place in Irish culture. And you know, it's not, you know, it's a huge honour to represent your county, and then to captain your county, and then to captain your county to win All-Ireland final is just an unbelievable honour. And to have the chance to express yourself in your native tongue playing your native games, I just couldn't let that opportunity pass me, and you know, I'm so proud that I got that chance to do it. And
it's
I'm
quite special,
I did it.
Like, yeah, and even yeah. Watching it back, like, do you watch your finals back, or are you completely avoid?
I know, I'd if you lose, you take a few weeks, but before I'd watch them back, right? But yeah, I would watch them back, and you might be cringing hearing a speech, all right, but I will say, like, I'm delighted that I got the chance to do it, and I you know, it's just a huge honor for me and for my family and for everybody at home, and I got a great response. I was blown away by it, and it just goes to show that there's a huge enthusiasm for the Irish language,
yeah.
And people do love the Irish language. I know, and you know, I'm just delighted that I was able to do that.
I was laughing because a few friends of mine were saying, I had a clue what she was saying, but it was lovely.
I know, it was fairly Bnuisuk.
I was like looking at them going, wasn't that hard? Like, you get the pure basic, like, yo, it's coming back to Cork, woohoo, yeah. Thanks management. You know?
I think that was pretty much a summary of it there.
Yeah. Like, in general, like, the captain's speech is like quite similar throughout.
Yeah.
Unless you threw in something wild altogether. Like,
not at all.
I suppose then, like, you know, were you conscious that 2017 might be your last year? Like, were you ever kind of going?
Yeah, I was. I was hugely conscious. I actually thought when I finished the football final in 2016 that I was nearly finished up at that stage. But look, I was delighted I got the chance again in 2017. I was delighted I went with it. It couldn't have finished any better. And I suppose I was hugely aware that I didn't have any decisions made or anything like that. But look, I just knew there was a bit of a squeeze coming on. I'd given a huge portion of my life to it, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and it was fantastic. But like I was saying at the start, there's life beyond intercounty sport. I gave all my 20s to it, which was brilliant. And maybe just less of my time to sport probably at this stage in my life would be...
Was it like annoying RSVPing to everyone going, no, for like all those 20... Like, I know, like, as 22, I'm like, you know, it's like intense if you're working all the time and playing sport, doing different things. Like, you want to go out, like, you want to hang out with your friends. Was it like a little bit annoying, like, seeing people message you going, let's meet up, Rena, and you're like, training?
No, not at all. I suppose I went through that when I was 21 and 2 as well. Yeah. And then by the time I got to 31, people kind of were like, oh, Rena's training.
Don't even ask
her. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like, I would have been very aware of the decisions I was making. And the choices I was making, you know, that, you know, you can do anything, but you can't do everything. And I was perfectly content playing sport, you know. And they were decisions I made. And I don't regret them at all. They've been fantastic. And I've got great friends and a great, you know, social network out of it. And, you know, I'm still hard to catch for an old a night out or anything like that.
You do the reunion, don't you, yourself, Eamon, and the 10 girls, you all do a reunion
every
once in a while. Yeah,
any of the gang that were kind of involved, We'd meet up a couple times in the year and... You know, we love meeting up, and it's
like a bizarre sister bond. Like, you know, like they're aunties for the future, like more babysitters if that ever goes down the line.
Please God,
I suppose then, like, you left and, you know, you were probably thinking, God, free time, but it never really stopped. Like, I mean, you were winning, you were still winning things left. I was at the Irish Times when you were there. Like, we were all like, Rena's still around. Like, Rena's still knocking about the place. But, you know, I suppose it was kind of cool because... You'd announced your retirement in 2018 around May, I think. That was when the penny kind of dropped, and that was when I suppose all these like stuff were coming out, like 20 by 20. You know, the LGFA were getting like more and more record breaking numbers by the day. Were you ever kind of sitting there going, "Damn, if only I was born 2 years later, or if only I could have my career back"? Are you a bit like
No. Like, I suppose I will say I think it was a huge blessing to me. You know that. You know, when I was playing that, nobody knew we were playing.
You had that game, no one would know.
Well, not exactly, but like, you know, I was in school when I started playing. So, like, you went out and you played with Cork on Saturday or Sunday or whatever it was. And then you came home, you did your homework, you went into school Monday, and there was nobody asking you how's things going in Cork, like, you know. You just went about your business and... you know, you were able to, you know, do your schoolwork and play your sport, and there wasn't really a huge pile of interference from one to the other. Obviously, your close family and your club mates and all that would be highly aware of what's going on, but there was no social media, there was no Twitter.
You kind of semi-avoided. You're like, oh no, social media is not really for.
Look.
It's kind of weird considering how much like is revolving around social media now, like the amount
I remember coming home after 2017 Camogie All-Ireland, and I was getting phone calls and tweets and WhatsApps and texts, and I remember thinking, like, the first in 2005, I'm like, I don't know, like, there was maybe basic text messages, like, you know, nothing more than that.
Block you.
Absolutely. And if you credit, you might be able to text back, you know. Like, so it's totally changed. I would have been perfectly content. You know, I never played sport for to be famous or have recognition or anything like that. And, you know, I never played in front of a full Crow Park. But I don't think I enjoyed the experience any less than Sean Ogg or, you know, Henry Shefflin or the Gooch, you know.
You still have the same core principles, friends,
titles,
absolutely. You know, the same core,
And you know, you have your own standards of what you want to achieve. And when you achieve it, you know, you're obviously completely satisfied. Yeah. But I will say that... While I was comfortable in that scenario, you know, women should be getting the same recognition that men are receiving, and particularly like the media coverage of women's sports. While it's improved, it's not where it should be. You know, like the amount of people who participate in, you know, in ladies' games is huge, and it's not reflected in the social or in the media in general. Yeah. And like, I think that has to change over the next 5 to 10 years.
So I remember you saying, I think maybe it was in 2016, you said, you know, the All-Irelands came, but everyone focused on Dublin's phantom point in the football, the one that was over but wide, and then the handshakes
absolutely,
at the
Camogie
final as well. Yeah.
That was really, I remember in 2016, I remember looking at the paper, you know, the following week, and like, there didn't seem to be much reports on the games. Like, it was all about the sideshows. And
same last year as well with the referee, Camogie.
Yeah, everyone. Absolutely. Yeah. And even... I mean, nobody was talking about Wexford Camogie as much when they were doing well as when they were, you know, when they're struggling this year, you know. So, like, I think that has to change, and we have to start commentating on the games. And I certainly think, you know, the amount of time in the media put into women's sport has to improve. It has to reflect the participation levels. Like, I see in our own clubs at home, in both Enniscarry and Dunamore at underage level, you know, you have as many girls playing as boys. But when you listen to the news bulletins, like, it's There's way more obviously about the men.
Even saying to my boss, like, I know what kind of a car Raheem Sterling would drive, but I don't know the score in a Munster final in a ladies football match. Like, how does that make sense whatsoever? And he was
absolutely.
Like, yep.
No, it's going, look, I wouldn't be moaning about it because it's going in the right direction. And, you know, there are, like yourself know, and, you know, the likes of Mary White and Dara Cahoor and, you know, and the 42 and things, you know, there is a big effort being made with women's GA and women's sport in general. And I do think there's an appetite out there for it because, like I say, the participation levels are going up and up, and that has to be reflected in the media. No, the other thing is we do have to go out and support women's sport a lot more, both as women and our, obviously our men as well. But, you know, there you can't hide from the fact that if you go to, you know, a Munster hurling final, there's probably more women at it than there is at the Munster Camogie final.
Does that annoy you? You're like sitting at a Munster hurling final and you're looking at, say, like club mates passing by and you won't see them at a Camogie final.
I wouldn't get too down out about it, to be honest. It's a social occasion to go to a Munster hurling final. It's not quite the same social occasion to go to the Camogie final. But there's a change coming in that too. And the more people are aware of the matches that are going on, you know, people will start coming to them. And you know, I think, you know, as families are getting smaller and, you know, family might have two girls and no boys, you know, people will start going to ladies' matches much more. And, you know, there is a cultural shift. Like I remember when I was very small, when I was looking at matches on television, I thought they were young boys running around. Like, I didn't even know that there were men. I didn't know any men that were playing. Then I remember getting an awful shock when I saw women playing and I was like, God, that's brilliant. Just that women weren't on television, you know. So, like, I think the more exposure that women are getting, and you know, the more women that are playing, and I think that, you know, it will become more of a social occasion to go to women's matches, and women will be better supported, and that can but lead for a kind of a more equal kind of society in general.
I'll say it to like one of the girls who runs the 20 by 20 campaign. I was like, the day I see ultras, like flares going off in Hill 16 for like a football final, I'll be like, we've made it. I'm so happy now. Like, we've made it. Like, this is what it's all about. It's not that I want like hooligans to come in, but I'm like, just like that same kind of vibe. Because I remember my brother texted me, he was like, how many children are at that football final? Like, it's just high pitched screaming on the TV. And he was like, I love the game, don't get me wrong, but like, find something exciting there. I suppose really
my brother says he always knows whether he's at a ladies or men's match when they sing Aura on the Veen. It's just at a different tone, he says.
It's a bit higher up, all right, like Westlife, but like on helium.
I know, but look, we're going in the right direction, and long may that continue. Like, it's great to see women's sport going forward. And look, that's all anyone can ask for.
It's lovely to see, like, last year at the final, like, I think Louth were in like the junior All-Ireland, and I remember like my mother passively saying to one of them, I don't know, she annoyed them in the end of, but sure, you'll never get here again, so isn't it lovely to enjoy it? I was like looking at her going, we mightn't get here again, don't mind them. I suppose really I just kind of want to wrap up really, I suppose, you know, we mentioned Sonia O'Sullivan earlier being your hero. Throughout the week, and I was saying, oh, I'm interviewing Rena, I'm doing something with Rena, blah, blah. The amount of people that would say, can you tell Rena that she's inspired my daughter? Can you tell Rena she's inspired me in different things? Is that, obviously that's lovely to hear, but are you a little bit like, not awkward, but like a little bit like, oh, yeah, that's lovely.
It's lovely. Jeez, it's really, really nice to hear that being said. And, you know, it's like I was saying, like, I'm so delighted that we've so, like, participation for our underage, you know, seems to be, like, if a girl wants to play, she just plays. Yeah. If a boy wants to play, he just plays. And it doesn't matter whether you're a boy or a girl, if you want to play, you just play. And that's brilliant. And it's great for young people, especially young Cork girls, that, you know, that they can see the Cork team doing well and they have dreams and ambitions, because that's what we all live for, is our dreams and our ambitions. So I'd be delighted. Obviously, look, it's a bit unusual that
people writing you like lovely cards, like,
absolutely. But I mean, it's fantastic that it's just a huge honor, like, you know, and you know, I can't believe my luck, you know, that it's brilliant, like, you know, it's a bit, look, it takes a bit of getting used to, I suppose, and I don't know, is anyone ever entirely comfortable with it? But look, if it helps them to play and if it gives them a bit of kind of hopes that they can play with Cork and play at a high level and enjoy themselves, if they enjoy themselves as much as I'd enjoy myself, then I'd be delighted for every one of them.
I think that's the perfect way to end it. So, So that was Rena Buckley talking about life after sport, her time in sport, and how we can inspire other girls to get involved and participate in sport. We'd like to thank Rena for her time, for giving up, and I think over an hour of her time for this podcast. Our next guests on the Joanna Reardon podcast include Mary O'Connor, CEO of Federation of Irish Sport, and also former Cork Camogie and Intercounty Jewel player, Niamh McCarthy, the European Paralympic discus record holder and Paralympic champion, and also Tracy Kennedy, chairperson of the Cork County Board. Tune in for any other guests, and also don't forget to link in at Big Red Bench and at JoannaR_OX. Until next time, chat to you soon.
The Big Red Bench.
Game on.
Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.